Hallelujah. Whew. Take me past the outer court to the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds, the people, and the priests that sing their praise. Hallelujah. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It's only found one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. The veil has been rent from top to bottom. The way into the holiest is now open. We have an open heaven. We have access through the Spirit of the Lord and by the blood of Jesus Christ to come to our Father's throne and receive mercy and find grace to help us. How many know we need help every day? Amen. If you think you don't, you're being lied to by somebody. Amen. And sometimes we're lying to ourselves. The Bible says if any man thinks he stands, he falls, right? Yes. Beware lest at any time you think you stand, that you fall. Because that's when you're most vulnerable, is when you're strong in yourself. Confident in yourself, but not confident in Christ. Amen. You can't be full of Him and full of yourself at the same time. So God has to wean us off ourselves and bring us to a place where we realize that in order for me to overcome, I have to get off the throne of my own heart, my own life. And I need to let Jesus be Lord now. Hallelujah. So Peter was allowed to fail over and over again until he realized, he came to his senses, if you will, and realized that what he was called to do was way beyond what he was capable of within himself. However, at one time he thought he had this thing nailed. He thought he had it wrapped up. Yo, Jesus, I'll never deny you. These guys might do it, but not me. Oh, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And he says, but I pray that your faith would what? Not fail. And he said, and when you are converted, then you'll strengthen your brothers. When you get over yourself, when you realize that you don't have it, then you'll be in a position to help other people. Isn't that the way it is? We don't have anything to offer anybody, really, in and of ourselves, other than a heart available for God to use, amen, and work through. So it's got to be a ministry of the Holy Spirit through a yielded vessel that makes the difference in someone's life. It's beyond just theological concepts and information. It's about a life in the Spirit of God. For the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do people want what you have? Do people look at you and say, man, I want what you have? That's a good testimony of the grace of God, you see. Hallelujah. And if they're saying, man, I don't want what you have, then it's time to get right with God, isn't it? Because there was a time when people didn't want what I had. But now I give them Jesus, amen? I don't give them myself. Hallelujah. You know, we can put a Band-Aid on things. You can go to a doctor, and they can put a Band-Aid on things, and they can tell you what's wrong, possibly, in some cases. They can say, yeah, you're depressed. Thanks, I knew that, but now what? Well, come back next week and we'll talk about it again. That'll be $50, please. It's probably more than that now, I don't know. But how about going to Dr. Jesus, amen? How about just surrendering that old man and dying at the cross with Jesus, amen, and saying, I'm done. The problem we have is we're so self-centered. When I'm self-centered and I'm full of my problems and focus is all about me and what's not right and I'm depressed. Well, get over yourself and you, amen. I'm sorry, did I hurt somebody's feelings? But that's what you got to do. You got to get over yourself. That's what God is teaching me, to get over myself, amen. And don't make it about you anymore. Jesus didn't make it about himself. Jesus didn't come here, you know, to be served, like he said. I came to serve. And he found his delight, he found his sustenance, his meat, he said, is to do the will of the Father and to complete the work he gave me to do. Jesus was satisfied, what? In the will of God. That's a repeat of something that we need to hear, because we need to understand that until we're willing to die to ourselves, or if Jesus said it this way, deny yourself, which means to utterly what? Disown. to utterly disown yourself. I'm under new management. He's Lord. I'm not. I used to be Lord of my own way, and what I had to offer people might have been a temporary band-aid in some cases, because naturally speaking, we can console people. You know, we can hold a hanky for them while they blow their nose, you know. But you're not going to heal anybody, because only Jesus can do that. You can make people feel better temporarily, but it's only a band-aid. Amen. There's a deeper problem that needs to be healed here. And it's an issue of the heart, and only God can do that. So God wants to take us past the surface of things and get to the root of the thing. And that's where He does the surgery. It's a work of grace on the heart. And then it will be reflected in the life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the battle continues, doesn't it? We're pressing on, aren't we? Yeah. And by the grace of God, we overcome. Every day is a new challenge. But the Lord is with us, and He provides all that we have need of. If we will trust Him, get beyond ourselves, and quit depending on my own willpower. You know, you can do a little bit with your willpower, with your soul power, right? But what you can't do is change your heart. Only God can do that. And until we're coming to the place where we're realizing that I can't be the center of this thing. I can't be me first. And you know, I heard something the other day on the radio. I have my radio set. I don't even know what channel it's on, but it's one of those things where I snooze 20 times, you know. So I get bits and pieces of a sermon usually. But I heard it was Greg Laurie was on there, and he was talking about joy. And he said, J is Jesus. O is others. Y is you. Joy. This is very true. That's how it works. Jesus first, others second, me third. And if you bless, you'll be blessed. If you give, it will be given unto you. Amen? When you give of yourself. Some people just want to, some preachers just want to take that and make it about money. No, it's about giving your life away. Amen? And that could be your resources as God would tell you to do something, but it has to do with your whole person. Your whole life should be given back to God as an offering of gratitude for what He has done for you. Amen. He deserves, amen, all of us. Yeah. It's our reasonable service. Remember, worship, true worship, is loving God back. Yes. How can I say thanks? How can I honor the Lord? How can I give praise to God? And we did that last week. We had just a time of testimonies and people sharing. And it was great of how God has brought people through to victory over and over again. And there are valleys, there are struggles, there are difficulties, but we don't quit. Amen. Because Galatians 6:9 says, if we don't quit, we shall overcome. Amen? Amen? We shall receive the reward of faithfulness, because we serve a faithful God who doesn't fail. Amen. We fail, but He doesn't. And as long as I'm strong in myself, I'm not aware of my need. And sometimes, you know, we think we're doing pretty good spiritually when we're really, it's a lot about us. You know, how many realize it's easy to be a Christian when everything is going well? Yeah. And the sun is shining and the birds are singing and, well, I'm an exceptional Christian today. Everything's going my way. But the real test of what we're made of, our character, the strength of character, amen, is in the valley, is in the trial, it's in the difficulty, it's in the test. But without tests, there's no promotion. So thank God for the test. Like James said, count it all joy when you endure all kinds of, you know, temptations and difficulties, because God is wanting to promote you. We learn, we hear the message, and then God says, okay, here's a test. See what you've learned. Let's put it to practice now. A lot of times, it's like the soldier on the battlefield, you hear the guy saying, you know what, When you don't know what else to do, you got to fall back on your training. You got to remember your training when you're in a hostile environment, because that's the purpose of the training. Amen. Is to equip you and prepare you for battle. Amen. And for the difficulties of life. So God equips and trains us, and He gives us, if you will, the instruction manual, the Word of God. Amen. So that once we enter into the fray of the battle, we can fall back on our training and our resources and say, but God's grace is available to me, just like He promised. And no temptation has taken me except that which is common to man. But the Lord is faithful, who will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able, but with it will what? With the temptation will make a way of escape. See, the Word of God is huge. It's so powerful. And Omer was talking at the men's breakfast, but Omer always is talking about how the Word of God has changed him. When he started reading the Bible every day, he reads his Bible every morning, and how that has so changed his life. You know, but the main thing is that not only is he reading the Word, but he's praying together with that. You need both. Amen. And we don't need just the information so we can win a Bible debate, but we want to be changed. Amen. And it's the grace of God that does that in our lives through the Word and through the Spirit working together in us. Grace and truth have come together in us. I just really sense the Lord is continuing to speak to me about this is a message that the body of Christ needs to get a hold of and understand that our model, our example is who? Jesus, yeah. It's got to be Jesus. If my Christianity doesn't look like Jesus, there's something wrong. There's all kinds of flavors out there and persuasions and opinions. And a lot of people, you know, claim to have a Jesus, you know, and they, to me, Jesus is like this or like that, you know. But the true Jesus of the Bible is the one that we want to be like. I say it this way, I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. I want to be like my father when I grow up. How many have had aspirations to be like somebody that you respected growing up? I want to be like them when I grow up, amen? Well, spiritually, we want to be like Jesus. And so if my Christianity doesn't look like Him, if my life is not modeling and patterning according to Him, then how many have arrived at that, by the way? Just a show of hands. Of course not. We haven't arrived, have we? We're in the process. We're in the process. But I want to be like Jesus. Remember the old song, to be like Jesus? All I ask is to be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like Him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him all through life's journey. From earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. Yeah. You become like the one you behold. When you are hanging out with someone that you admire or a friend, you spend a lot of time with certain people that you really like being with, hanging out with. How many know that you start to pick up the attributes of one another? You actually begin to, sometimes you dress alike, and you BFFs, right? Best friends forever, right? And so that we're going to dress like this, and we like to dress and wear the same kind of styles and whatever, because you want to model yourself after somebody that you admire. Well, the more that we're with Jesus, the more that we pray, the more that we're in His Word, the more that we are just abiding and continuing in Him, the more of His attributes that we will display. It's just the way it is. If I'm not really connected to Jesus, then I'm not going to be displaying Jesus to the world. Isn't that true? It's pretty simple. But you will be like the one you want to be. And if you want to be like Him, then it requires communication. It requires fellowship with Him in the Spirit. It requires a prayer life. It requires time in His presence. you're changed in His presence. You can't be in God's presence and not be changed. Now, we can be a closed book. We can have the gates completely shut down. We can fold our hands and block God out, because God doesn't barge the door down. But if you want Him to come in and make some changes, amen, that are very absolutely necessary, by the way, you're going to have to just let go of yourself, swallow your pride, and admit, I'm not all that, and God, I need You. I'm desperate for Your help in my life. I don't care how long I've been a Christian, I'm desperate for God's help. The older I get and the more that I learn, the more I realize how little I know, right?
Yeah.
It's very true. I realize how dependent I am now on the Lord, which is a good thing. Now, the world balks at that. It's like the person that's drowning that says, I don't need the lifesaver, I'm good. You're trying to help them out. You're trying to offer something to them that will save them, but now I'm good. Sometimes people don't realize that they're dying. They don't realize that they're sinking. They don't realize where they're heading. There is a hell, isn't there? But there's a way of escape through Jesus Christ, thank God. So the threefold purpose of the believer. Jesus was a prophet, but more than a prophet. He was a priest, but more than a priest. And He was a king. But more than a king. He was the Son of God. He was the Word, amen, that had been in the beginning with the Father, who became flesh. God became man, amen. But in His office, He was prophet, priest, and king. We are to become like Him. The threefold purpose of the believer is to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Not a prophet in the sense of the office of prophet, okay? But all, by the Holy Spirit, can prophesy. We should pray that we may prophesy, amen? And what does that mean? Prophesying means that I'm speaking a divine utterance as the Lord enables me to. God gives me the words to speak, and I speak what He's speaking. I'm prophesying. What else is a Christian do? They're supposed to be a priesthood. We're a holy nation, right? And a royal priesthood. As a priest, we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The fruit of our lips. We give thanks. We give praise. That's what we do today. We give God thanks and we give God praise for what He has done for us at the cross. Amen. For our salvation, for our redemption. He deserves, amen, the offering of ourselves back to Him as a reasonable service, Romans 12. And as a king, little k, because Jesus is big K, king of little k's. Don't get that mixed up, amen? King of kings, Lord of little l's, lords. We are called to represent Him as ambassadors. We represent His interests here on the earth. We represent Him, His word, His will, amen, not our own. We want people to see and know our King, amen. This is how our King is. This is who He is. This is what He says. This is what He believes. And I'm here to represent Him to you. Problem is a lot of times we get ourselves in the way of that, and we want to make it about us. We want to get the recognition. We want to get the praise. I know there's a part of you that desires to be its own God, right? There's a part of us, a natural man, that says, I won't have anybody rule over me. I determine my own path. Well, that's true in the sense that God has given you free choice, free will. Amen? However, if you don't learn to submit that free will to His will, you're going to be in trouble. Because the way of self-will is the way that leads to destruction. And many go that way. Most people are not following the Lord. Most people are not walking His path for their life. Because they think that their way is superior to God's. Because the enemy is very good at offering us a cheap counterfeit and making it look so good and dressing it up, it's called sin, to look so appealing and so delightful. And in some ways, he exaggerates the thing to make it look like it's actually better than what God is offering. And that's called temptation. If it wasn't tempting, it wouldn't be a temptation. If it wasn't appealing to a part of us, then we wouldn't be drawn by it. And so, what does the devil want? He wants worship. He wants to steal the worship from God, Jehovah, amen, take it upon himself. So if he can offer us something, even if it's an idol, it's a cheap thing, it's a counterfeit, and that's what it is, and we begin to bow down and serve that and worship that, then he has stolen the worship away from God and he's taken it upon himself. You see, that's why we are to flee from idolatry. Like John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's how he finished his book. 1 John. Keep yourselves from idols. Because the enemy is a liar. And so when he dresses it up and it makes so look so good and so appealing, and then you take a bite of that thing, you're like, oh my word, what have I done? What was I thinking? Well, you weren't thinking. You see, he dresses up the lie. He exaggerates the lie. And he makes it look like something that's really not. Because he wants to steal the worship away from God, the Creator. Exodus 19 and verse 3. Moses went up to God, and the Lord God called him to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So, what did God say? He says, Israel, even though you're insignificant, you're a very small, one of the smallest countries on the globe, I've decided to call you and separate you to represent me. And you shall be a holy nation. You shall be a kingdom of priests. So God's plan for national Israel was that that nation of Israel would reveal God to the nations around them. That the peoples around them would see Israel and say, that's what God is like. But instead of being the conduit through whom God moved and worked through to be a blessing, they became the sole recipient of the blessing. Let's fast forward to the new covenant, the church of Jesus Christ, that Jew and Gentile have been brought together in Christ, one new man, no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ. Just come back forward here to what? The New Testament, the New Covenant. Now the Church of Jesus Christ, it has not replaced national Israel, but spiritual Israel is the Church, and it's the Church that God has got His eye on. We now are the apple of His eye. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a people. He's coming for a church without spot or blemish. The Lord is not coming for a prostitute or a whore. He's coming for a pure virgin. A people that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen? That are keeping themselves for His coming because they know that just like He left, He promised, I'm coming again to receive you. And so, you are a royal priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a... Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the church. A chosen generation. Huh. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Where? Into his marvelous light. So who are we? We are a priesthood. We are now representatives of the Lord in this earth. What does a priest do? A priest under the old covenant was to offer up the sacrifices. Amen. They were to be keepers of the temple. They were to be keepers of the flame and make sure that the supply of oil continually flowed into the candelabra, right? The candle stand that was there. It was in the second chamber that represented a mind illuminated by the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We are to be keepers of that flame. God will not automatically fill you with His Spirit. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to keep the flow of oil continually, that oil was continually to flow in the Old Testament temple. They were to keep trimming the wick. Amen? They were to get rid of the excess and the things that were unnecessary, anything that would keep the flame from being full. Do you get it? We need to be trimming out the things in our lives or anything that would keep us from being full flame for Jesus. Amen? If your eye is single, if you have a focused life, if you're really living for the kingdom and for the Lord, amen, then your whole being will be filled with His light, His glory. And the world will know that there's something different about you, and what you have, I want. Unless, of course, they want to continue in darkness. That's another story. So who am I? Well, I'm a priest unto God. I represent the Lord to the people, and I make petitions. I pray. Supplications, that's earnest entreaty before the throne of God. Who do I pray for? I pray for you. I pray for others. As a priest, amen, my responsibility is to pray for my family, to pray for my loved ones, pray for people, pray for our nation. First of all, first and foremost, as a priesthood, we're to do what? We're to offer up praises to God. Amen? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's what the priests would do. They would minister before the altar. In Revelation 1:6, it says, He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. There it is again. God has made us what? Kings and priests to Him. Be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are to be maintainers of the flame. Ephesians 5:18, how many know this one very well? Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. He's talking about individuals in the body of Christ. We are the temple. We are the living stones. We are a holy priesthood. There it is again. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:15 again. Therefore, by Him, by God, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Live that. Amen. Praise Him. That is the fruit of our thoughts. How about the fruit of our lips? You got to go beyond just the thought to the action. We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So if somebody does something for you really good, what do? You thank them. And that thanksgiving is genuine, right? Unless you're just trying to make them feel good. Ever get a gift where you didn't really like it that much, but you didn't want to hurt their feelings? You said, why thank you? No. But we want to be authentic. And God is so good and so delightful that when He does something for us, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Especially if we've had to wait for something, you know, some things are worth waiting for, right? Yeah. It increases the value of the thing you've waited for. So finally the answer comes, oh, Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah! Amen. You said thanks, and then it's hallelujah. Thanksgiving and praise. And praise brings His presence, and His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've got to give thanks to His name. What? The fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. Do you know God gave you control over your mouth? I mean, sometimes we wonder, but God gave us control of that. It's called self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In Christ, you do have control over what you say. Amen? So, like the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. What was he doing? He was saying, David, the Lord deserves glory. The Lord deserves praise. And I'm going to give praise to God. And how many know that sometimes we're just not feeling up to it? But we're not to live by that feeling. We're to live by faith. We're to reflect on God's goodness. Amen. Like the old song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And if you take a look at the good things, just the other day, and because I'm so righteous, I say this, yeah. Kidding, all right. But I just have to say this because it doesn't happen that often. But the other day, I just started to think about how blessed I am. You know, that's a good thing to do every day. But the other day, I was really just thinking about that. I say, man, God, I don't deserve you. I don't deserve what you've done for me. But I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. You know, if God never does anything else for us, he still deserves praise, doesn't he? He's so good. Just to have an attitude of gratitude. We give thanks. That's a priest. We're a royal priesthood. Why is we can say royal is because we're part of the family of God. Amen? We serve a king who is above every king. He's the great high priest. He's the chief priest, amen? And then there's many priests, that's you and I. But God's intention was to create a new nation. God didn't decide that I just want to patch up the old person and kind of put a little makeup on him and make him look pretty. You've heard it said, putting lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right? Yeah. No, God says you can't put lipstick on a pig, amen? You got to kill the pig. The pig has to be replaced with something beautiful, amen? So that's kind of like the old nature. Sometimes we think Christianity is just about getting principles and patching up and self-help, you know, just to kind of improve upon the old. God says you got to get rid of the old. Don't live out of the old anymore. Live out of the new. Live out of your identity. Understand who you are, that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a special people, a peculiar people, yes, but a special people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a king, hallelujah, in God's kingdom to represent the King of Kings. What does a king do? A king has dominion. A king has authority to make decrees, to declare things. Did you understand that you have been given that authorization in the will of God to make declarations, to make decrees? Listen, this is the idea. God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. God's purpose, folks, was to have a people in the earth that were filled with His Holy Spirit. That were a royal priesthood, a nation of priests to represent Him so that His interests, His will be fully represented in the earth through a people who are willing and submitted to Him. And so in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, this is what God says. Now understand that the time of this writing, the book of Joel, it would be unheard of, hear me ladies today, for a woman to be considered a priest. But we're in a new order. There's no longer male nor female in Christ. Let's make sure that's the distinction here, right? Naturally, oh yes, there is. But in Christ, we're a priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're His own special people. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And listen, verse 29. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. When was this fulfilled? On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. These are not drunk as you suppose. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. He baptized a people and made them his own. They became heirs. They became, part of his kingdom. In the new birth, we become a new person. We're not a patch job. See, this is the thing that some people, they're not born again, so they're just trying to improve on the old. And that never works. Jesus said you can't put a new patch on an old garment. Or that what will happen is it'll tear the garment, right? As it shrinks, it'll pull and tear, and it'll make the tear worse. He says you can't put new wine into what? Old wineskins. You got to have a new wineskin, amen, that can contain the new wine. Because when fermentation takes place, it stretches, amen. And if you have an old wineskin, they become brittle. Amen. And you pour new wine in an old wineskin, what happens? It expands and it bursts and everything is lost. So he says you can't add the new into the old. So people need to understand this, because some people, they're not really born again because they've never really repented of their sins and turned to God and given them their life. They're just giving God pieces. You can have this, you can have that, but you can't have this. Come on, somebody. It's not until we surrender. We repent. We've made up our minds. God sees the heart. And that's when your freedom comes. Is when he knows that you mean business. Abraham had raised his knife to slay Isaac, the son of promise that he'd waited so long to have. And here now God is telling him, I want you to take and offer your son as a sacrifice. And you can only imagine what Abraham was thinking. But Abraham did ask, or when Isaac asked him, Father, here's the wood, here's the flame, but where's the sacrifice? And he said, what? God will provide a lamb. And he brought him to that place of the mount where he was going to offer him. But he had raised the knife, and it was at that point the angel intervened and said, do not touch the lad. Now I know that you believe me. We can tell God all kinds of stuff. We can give God lip service. But he knows when you really believe him. When you really believe him, you give your life. You lay it down. It's no longer me. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God. And it's a joyful way. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the most wonderful thing. But you've got to be done with yourself. You've got to repent and you've got to give God this old nasty self and say, God, take me and make me new. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Lord, do what you got to do to me. But break down the old thing, destroy the old thing, and remake me after your will. Make me into a new creation. A container that can receive your glory, your spirit, the new wine, and be a vessel that honors you in the earth as a royal priest. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. There's no such thing as a silent confession. There needs to be a witness, amen? Our lives need to be a witness, but we need to also confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We need to be confessing with our mouths what we say we believe in our hearts. You're not saved until you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead. Hold fast the confession of who what Jesus is. of what He has done. The message of the gospel. Amen? The confession of my confidence, my faith, my hope, my trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? It is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, and you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We got to open our mouths and we got to declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's what drives the enemy out of the camp. It's when we open our mouth and we declare the word of the Lord. As a king, we take authority and we speak, thus saith the Lord, prophetically. But as a king, we take authority and we make decrees. And we can shift atmospheres. We can shift the atmosphere in the home. We can shift the atmosphere in the workplace. You can shift the atmosphere in Walmart. Start going in there declaring the praises. How many know what I'm talking about? God has made a divine appointment. You come together and you're sharing Jesus with somebody. And all of a sudden the whole atmosphere has changed. And there's people going around saying, whoa, what's going on over here? Oh, or somebody's getting prayed for over here. And next thing you know, there's more people saying, what was that all about? Or you're talking to this guy, leading him in a sinner's prayer, and somebody else is overhearing it. That doesn't happen every day, but it can. God wants us to be professors. Amen? Confessing what we believe in our hearts. Hold fast your confession. Don't let it go. Don't quit. Don't lend yourself to the adversary. Don't start speaking unbelief. Speaking negativity. Speaking death. Start speaking life. Yes. Amen? Yes. Quit cursing and start blessing. Yes. And you will draw into your life. It's a biblical principle that you will draw into your life what you speak. It's a biblical principle. I know some people say, oh, that's occultic. No, it's biblical. What the occult world has done is they've gotten a hold of some of the principles and they mix them in with their garbage. And then they got the church saying, well, we don't do anything like that. Well, that's stupid. Power of life and death is what? In the tongue. You've heard it said, but if you lend your voice, you lend your conversation to stinky things, negative things, bad stuff, well, you know what the devil is attracted to. Just like flies are attracted to certain things. Yeah. So if we align ourselves with that, guess what? We're inviting Beelzebub, the prince of the flies. And we're inviting him and all his hordes to just come out and camp out. And that's why Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all these things. For as a man speaks, you know. Jesus said this. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. That's what Jesus said. Do we fear the Lord? Do we take Him seriously? How many want to lend yourself to life? Start speaking life. Amen? Start speaking truth. How many want to lay yourself down on the altar and say, God, I don't want to be a patch job. I want to be a new creation. It's time to lay yourself down. Get into God's presence. Lay it down. Say, Jesus, do what you got to do in me. I surrender. I yield myself. So often, folks, let's face it, we're blaming other people for our own problems. We're making it somebody else's fault that we're a mess. It's no different in politics. Is they create the problem and blame somebody else for it. Let's just be personally responsible for ourselves. Quit pointing the finger at anybody else. It's me in the need of prayer. It's me that needs to be changed. It's me that needs God to work in me. Amen. Amen. And if my brother or sister is struggling, I'm over there to help them out. Amen. Not to point a finger, not to compare myself, not to compete with them, but to reach out my hand and help out my fellow man. It is true. It is true. God's in love with you. God's plan is beautiful. It is amazing. It is beyond you. So it's time to lay ourselves down, really. Just lay it down. The next couple of weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to be speaking more about this and what it is to be a king and what it is to be also a prophet, a prophetic voice today. But Father, today in Jesus' name, we acknowledge that we are poor in spirit. We acknowledge that we're not all that, that we haven't arrived, that we are in need of your grace today. Would you just take a moment right now to talk to the Lord about the very things that He's been speaking to you about in your personal life that you need to give up, that you need to lay on the altar, you need to quit, you need to stop right now. God only convicts, only convinces us of these things because He wants to heal you. He doesn't do that to take away your joy, but He wants to give you joy. So whatever it is, the Lord has spoken to some of you today, even as I'm speaking, and He's pointing out some things that you need to lay down, you need to die to, you need to give it up, you need to quit it right now. You need to repent. Would you be willing to do that before the Lord right where you're at and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you offer me pardon, forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord, to blot out my transgressions, to purge my iniquities. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me now in your blood. Lord Jesus, I want to surrender my life. I want to surrender my heart to you today. And I ask you, Lord, to take the whole thing. I'm sorry, Lord. And I ask you to take the whole offering today. Lord, I want to give you my body. I want to give you my soul. And I want to give you my spirit. Take all of me, Lord. Make me your own. Do what you got to do, Lord, in me to make me beautiful for you. I can't change my heart, and I'm asking you to do it, Lord. In fact, I'm asking you to take out of me right now a heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart that loves what you love. Make me a new creation today, Lord. Save me, I pray. I call upon your name, Lord Jesus. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy God, your will be done now in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me, enable me to live for you as a royal priest, to represent you, to offer praise to you and thanks to you, the fruit of my lips, to stand in the gap, to pray on behalf of others. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen.